stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge, episode number 85 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and everywhere else at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not gone to check out the Warp Tool, I'm going to be talking about it and some of the output from it extensively in today's episode. So if you want to go and try it out for the Black Friday weekend, I will be running a sale for 90% off of the Warp Tool with the code BLACKFRIDAY2025, no spaces, all caps, BLACKFRIDAY2025, get 90% off of a month of the Warp Tool. If you have let your subscription lapse, this code will be good for that. If you've never signed up for it before, this code will be good for that. And I'm making it work through Cyber Monday. So if you're listening to this on your commute to or home from work on Monday, then you can take advantage of this code still. Once again, go to southharmonff.com, sign up for the Warp Worshipper, and use the code BLACKFRIDAY2025 in order to get 90% off of your first month. So what am I going to be talking about this week? I want to talk about what Warp says when you are looking at a very small window of time. How does it change when you are looking at just trying to win a couple weeks? And what might you want to do differently in terms of the players you're targeting versus targeting across an entire season? The biggest difference that exists is that the skill positions, the value of them in relation to the quarterbacks, gets increased. So overall, the quarterbacks, if you think about it, this is going to make some logical sense to you. Your best quarterbacks, what are they going to do? They're going to give you a positional advantage every single week. But it's not that often that even our best quarterbacks are going out there and getting us potentially 15, 20 point advantages over the replacement level players at that position. If you think about somebody like how Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson scores their points, they're going to very consistently just be in between 20 and 35 points. Like, they aren't going to really kill you on any given week, but it's not that often they get up there to 35. So they're just going to get you a consistent baseline. And that's fine for accumulating this warp over the course of the season. But your skill position players, they come out of nowhere and they score 30 points. And you go, great, that was an awesome week out of this guy. But their 30 points isn't equivalent to the quarterback's 30 points, because the replacement level at that quarterback position is maybe 17, 18 points. That's what we're comparing it to. Whereas at the skill position, that might be all the way down at 9, 10 points. That's a 10-point swing that we're not prepared for. From a warp perspective, that means that we're going to be getting higher warp values out of these top-tier position weeks compared to the quarterbacks. So, if you're looking to bolster your team for the playoffs and you have the choice between two bang-for-your-buck players, and you're comparing them on the warp chart, you look at the full season warp, and you're saying, you know what? I've got this quarterback 10 and this wide receiver 6. They're the same player across season-long warp. If what you're trying to do is win a championship right now, then you should absolutely be going for that wide receiver 6. Provided that it's not like you're starting a 0 or somebody like extremely low in your quarterback spot. In general, you want to be targeting those skill positions at this time of year. It also means that you can make some savvy moves. if you're able to take one of those top tier quarterbacks and turn them into what would be equivalent season-long warp. But you're putting that value into, yeah, I'm getting a lesser quarterback and I'm picking up a skill position at a position that I have need in. Now, all of a sudden, you're making this savvy move that is for this championship run going to have you come out on top. And then for season long would be equivalent. So by the time you get to next year, it's not like you've lost anything. The only thing you've lost is the leverage that you have at that quarterback position. You've handed that to somebody else. So it's that kind of balance that you need to figure out what you want to do in your teams. You need to figure out, are you willing to sacrifice some of that quarterback leverage if you have what you know is a top tier quarterback in order to try and get some win now players, in order to transition to those skill positions, get a couple weaker quarterbacks back, and make a stronger run by getting more chances at the truly difference-making skill positions. The hardest question to answer is whether you're truly ready for that. And so that's what I'm going to try to spend some time here this episode talking about. In my mind, the way I am playing this, and keep in mind, this is not backed up by data. This is backed up just purely based on my experience, my theory crafting, all those sorts of things. I'm not exactly sure how to get data on this, but I'm going to shoot my best shot anyway. I want to, on teams that I think have a multiple year window, have multiple years of I'm just going to consistently be rolling this team over and over and over again. I want to keep that quarterback leverage on my team for what I call the rainy season. The season where everything is going wrong, where I'm like, crap, I need to fill this hole in week 7 in order to stay competitive, but you know, the rest of my team is still competitive. And then week 7, I go and I spend that first round pick. And then I get to week 12 and something else horrible happens. And it's like, oh crap, I have to go and spend out of my large assets, split them up, get me some pieces that are going to allow me to continue this championship run that I'm trying to achieve right now. That's what I want to keep my quarterbacks for. I tend to not like to split my quarterbacks except for when it's essentially the last ditch effort on what I am expecting to be essentially the last year of true competitiveness out of my team. That kind of team where, yeah, I've already exhausted most of my picks. Maybe I even exhausted my picks for the next year. Things are already starting to go wrong. I need to keep the ship afloat. That's when I can utilize that quarterback leverage in order to get the points that I need on my team by targeting the right team who would want to receive some of that quarterback leverage. Maybe it's a rebuilder who would absolutely want to take on a top-tier quarterback in order to jumpstart that rebuild. Maybe it's somebody who has been having some really strong position players, but they're missing a quarterback. They're kind of middle of the pack. And if you know that you hand them that quarterback and they spend a year or two fishing for those skill position players out of rookie drafts, all of a sudden, now they are the next monster team in the league. Those are the kinds of places where I'm willing to turn this quarterback into those skill position players. But if I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm going into the playoffs. I'm sitting pretty where I want to be. Maybe I already have that first round bye locked up, or I'm very close to having it locked up. I've got a team that isn't reliant on a ton of really old players. If you have a team that's reliant on your Derrick Henrys, your Davante Adams, your Travis Kelce's, your Alvin Kamara's, those kinds of guys, then I might be willing to down tier that quarterback now in order to just get myself that little bit of extra that I need in order to achieve whatever goal it is that I need to achieve. Maybe I'm sitting in third with one of those teams, and I've got a matchup against that team in second place that I know that if I win, I'm going to get that first round bye. I'd rather sell my quarterback now in order to be able to perform better that 1 week, have some better skill positions. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit riskier going into playoffs. And when my team needs to hit the rebuild, likely after this season, well, I'm going to no longer have this top-tier quarterback on my team. But I would rather use some of that leverage, some of that value, in order to push in, have that stronger run now. Because if you're able to get yourself, even let's say, a 10% advantage, when you're talking a 10% advantage in terms of total league dues of the league, that's more than 1 year in terms of total league dues. And that 1 year is all you need to do to recoup that leverage that you had at the quarterback position. Keep in mind, I'm not talking about selling your quarterbacks for lesser value. I mean, you're still getting skill position players that are worth that top-tier quarterback position. Like, if you're selling a top-tier quarterback and you are getting a player, I'm not saying sell Jalen Hurts in order to get yourself Davante Adams and Derrick Henry. Like, no, get yourself the true difference makers, sell your Jalen Hurts, and make sure you're getting a Bijan Robinson or a Jaxon Smith-Njigba or a Puka Nacua or somebody of that caliber of player who you know is going to be a true difference maker at their position for at least a couple more years. Those are the kinds of moves that you can make that are going to help you in terms of that skill position difference now, and then help you still have some assets to then trade when you're in that rebuild. When you're going through, yeah, that JSN, you can split him up into multiple assets next offseason. You can do the same thing with a Bijan Robinson. Like, you can do those things with those players because everyone still values them. Everyone still sees the longevity. You've just moved off of the quarterback leverage that you had. If you want to get back into that as part of your rebuild, that's fine. You just find the person that's doing the corresponding strategy to what I'm talking about right now. But that's the biggest difference between the warp from season-long versus playoffs, is the quarterbacks, they definitely get depressed when you look at a smaller window. Because they don't have that week-to-week difference-making, theirs is just an advantage consistently over the length of a season. When we're looking at the position players as well, something I want to point out is that in the grand scheme of things, those players that are having the absolutely insane seasons can be matched. So the person I called out earlier, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he's having an absolute tear of a season. Well, when you're talking a three-week window, he can be matched in that three-week window. Even if he's not going to be matched when you're looking at it from a season-long perspective. And what that looks like on a warp chart is that vertical line that is on the left, where you see, like, it's basically that exponential, where it looks like, man, if I just continued this, it would just go to infinity. Well, as you see one player at a position really high up, and the next one significantly down, and the next one significantly down, but less significantly, and going down and down like that. When you're looking at it in just a three-week window, those players in that high-end range, the difference between them is more linear. It's not that exponential-looking kind of graph. And so, as a result, it means that the difference between those top-tier players, they can be matched more easily. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, if he continues what he's doing this season, yeah, he very well might be the number one player in Warp for the playoffs. But you also might find somebody that goes on a tear. Maybe that's Puka Nacua. Maybe that's CeeDee Lamb. Maybe that's Ja'Marr Chase. We don't know exactly who that is, but there will be somebody else that matches up close to there. Maybe they even exceed JSN by having a higher spike across those 3 weeks. And so targeting the players that you think could do that, who maybe aren't quite in that same realm. Like, I've been talking JSN just because he's been on a tear this season. Like, I've personally gone out and bought some of them just as a safe option where I know I need a top-tier wide receiver. But if you want to take a little bit more of a gamble, like, yeah, go out and get one of those other top-tier wide receivers who maybe isn't having the best of the best seasons, but is still up in that range. They could potentially come at a little bit of a discount. They might even be on one of those teams where they're not doing as well. They're out of the playoffs. Like, I would not be surprised if the Ja'Marr Chase owner was also somebody that had Joe Burrow, and so they've been out of quarterback for basically the whole season, and they haven't been doing as well. So you might be able to go get somebody like that and have that same difference maker on your team and match that performance more easily from the managers that are like me and going out and buying JSN. It all has to do with what you are able to spend in terms of how much value you have on your team for this time of year. And applying it properly, so that way you're able to spend it to get these true difference makers and get these players who are going to have these increased warp difference making games. The other thing I want to point out is it's a slight difference, but it does exist. And it is that wide receivers and tight ends get a little bit of a bump compared to the running backs. A little bit, not as much as the quarterback line getting pushed down as a result of it being fewer weeks. But there is still a decent difference between where, say, running back 6 versus wide receiver 6 is, compared to across a full year, running back 6 and wide receiver 4 are equivalent. Whereas in those 3 weeks, wide receiver 6, running back 6 are equivalent in the same league. So at the top end, you see that the wide receivers are keeping up with the running backs better when you have this shorter week window. But when you get to the lower end, when you get past that inflection point, which if you've looked at a lot of warp charts, you know about this inflection point, where if you have a league that is running back dominant, there becomes a certain point where the wide receiver line starts to go above the running back. And so in my example league that I'm looking at here, it happens right around wide receiver and running back 18. Everything above running back 18, the running back is higher, below a running back wide receiver 18, the wide receiver is higher. When you go to individual weeks or the championship weeks, I'm looking at 15 to 17, the wide receiver line tracks much more closely with the running back line. So whereas full year, say wide receiver 36 is equivalent to about running back 28, in just looking at weeks 15 through 17, wide receiver 36 is equivalent to running back 31. Now, this doesn't sound like a lot. It's like a three position difference, pretty low. But it's more stark when you look at the chart. When you look at truly, okay, how many of these, how steep is this curve? How many of these players who are your flex wide receivers are actually ending up as your difference makers? And so what it means is that these lower level running backs, these lower tier of running backs, they are your safer options in order to get that warp that you need in these playoff weeks. Of course, the biggest thing is, will your wide receivers hit? If your wide receivers hit and they they go off, they score more than the points that they're projected for, great. That's exactly what you're aiming for. The problem is that you need to be supremely confident that they're going to do that. Your running backs are more likely to get close to their projection, but also not exceed it as much. Whereas your wide receivers are more likely to miss their projection, but also exceed it extravagantly. And so if that is, and so you can use that for your matchups. If that is something that you need, like, all right, I'm going in, I'm the five seed, and this is the second week of playoffs, I'm going up against that team that finished second, got that first round bye, and they smacked me in the regular season. Well, maybe dump in a couple wide receivers and hope you get that extra boost. But if you're that team that's in the driver's seat, and you're like, I can beat this team as long as my team doesn't fumble the ball, then put in those running backs for that safer floor. So that's your takeaways for Warp for the playoffs. You want to be looking at getting skill positions because they have a significant difference compared to the quarterbacks across the entire board. And then your running backs, you want to be looking at potentially starting more of your lower level running backs compared to your wide receivers. And then also starting more of your, investing a little bit more in your higher end wide receivers compared to your higher end running backs. Obviously, if you get higher ends of any position in general, you absolutely want to go there. Whatever your tiers are, like, I'm not talking about jumping tiers based on this kind of thing. Like, if you've got a tier two wide receiver who's going to be like, say a wide receiver 8 through 10, and you're trying to decide between them and a running back who you'd think would be like running back 12 to 15. Clearly, go with the wide receiver. But if you're looking at some equivalent stuff, if you're like, man, this guy, he's like running back 25 to 30. He's going into that last flex spot in my start 12 league. Like, I just need a body there who's going to be decent. And I'm debating whether I want to put in wide receiver 25 to 30. Well, depends on where your team is, but most of the time you probably want to be starting that running back just to get that little bit of boost because you're in that 1 week window. So that's everything on this week's main topic. Now I'm going to turn and talk to the last two things for every single week. The first one being trade spams. I called this out a little bit while ago, but I want to make sure that if you still have Davante Adams on your team and you are not competing, you go out and you get that first for him. I'm seeing him command a first in a lot of places, and that does not seem to be slowing down anywhere. The other thing is I want you to go and make sure your Derrick Henrys are being sold for a first. I actually got one today of the recording for 2 seconds. From somebody who wanted to make sure that they were being sold. And I told him afterwards, I'm like, honestly, I probably would have paid a first. And the reason I jumped on it was because I was like, the 2 seconds for a running back his caliber, I'm just going to spend that all day in order to help me make a run at the championship. And then in general, it is that time of year where if you are not competing, go out and put out some auto accept trade blocks, spam out a bunch of trades, make sure that everyone knows that you are available and you are willing to sell all the players on your teams. This is the time of year that everybody's going to be looking to, hey, what can I sell my picks for? What kind of players can I get? And so you want to be first to the market of everyone having your name in their head as to, oh, you know what, if I go to this manager and I send them a trade and they think it's good, they're going to accept it. That is so immensely valuable. And you absolutely want to take advantage of that if you are able to get that feeling from the other managers in your league. The last thing for this week is the tight ends don't matter segment. I have the choice this week of Brock Wright, John Fitzpatrick, and Ian Thomas. I'm going to stick with Brock Wright, and honestly, very well might be doing this the rest of the season, since Laporta is going to be out the rest of the season. Ian Thomas is intriguing, though, because he did come in as a replacement for Michael Mayer, and then immediately, just even in a partial game, caught 4 catches for 36 yards. So, seeing that, knowing how much the Raiders are using that 2 tight end personnel, I'm kind of intrigued that if we get some decent matchups here from the Raiders, that I might want to plug Ian Thomas in to try and take advantage of a week where he might go off for way more than we're expecting. So that's everything for this week. As I mentioned earlier, go to southharmonff.com, sign up for the Warp Worshipper, and use the code BLACKFRIDAY2025 in order to get 90% off of a month of the tool. Once again, that's BLACKFRIDAY2025 with all capital letters, no spaces. That's everything that I have for this week. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.